know, my father always used to tell me, I had a wonderful father, very smart. And he used to say, son, when you walk into a restaurant and you see a dirty front door, don't go in. Because if the front door is dirty, the kitchen's dirty also. Same thing with the Capitol. If our Capitol's dirty, our whole country is dirty. This is Liberation Day in D.C., and we're going to take our Capitol back. We're taking it back.
After President Trump's announcement, there has been a lot of pushback from those that enjoy living in hell.
When we add the president of federal agents or the National Guard to daily life in these neighborhoods, the burden can multiply.
And those that have a vested interest in continuing their stranglehold over the minds of its minions.
The most violent moment in recent history in D.C. was January 6th.
And a relatively small crime problem is being used for specific authoritarian purposes that we know and understand.
If people are afraid to come to D.C., go to Disney World, get fat, eat French fries. I don't care. I've lived here 37 years. I am not afraid. I live in the city. I'm not afraid of this city. If you're afraid, go ahead. Leave your fear someplace else.
They seem to hold their harshest criticism sometimes for cities that are majority black and brown.
Focus those cameras on everything that's going on, because this president is trying to lead us into what could be called a civil war.
President Trump doesn't like public safety. He's a convicted criminal himself. He pardons people who are criminals and do pretty dastardly things, like cause the deaths of five different law enforcement officers during January 6th.
But what is the reality on the ground in the District of Criminals?
I came all the way down Pennsylvania Avenue this morning. So peaceful, yeah. I don't smell no weed, yeah. I don't see no homeless people.
A person like me at this age, I has to make sure to come home before sundown.
President Trump knows what's going on. The crime is exploded here. A lot of you know about it.
Since the 1950s, Washington, D.C.'s crime rate has been a roller coaster ride. It all really began to go downhill following the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr.
Good evening. Dr. Martin Luther King, the apostle of nonviolence in the civil rights movement, has been shot to death in Memphis, Tennessee.
Which led to riots and widespread property damage.
Dr. King got killed in April and looked like all hell broke loose.
By the 1980s, the crack cocaine epidemic fueled an unprecedented spike in violent crime, with the murder rate peaking in 1991. At 479 homicides.
Crime got so bad, we were losing like 400 or 500 a year, and like two a night were being murdered.
Earning D.C. the infamous title of the murder capital of the United States.
We were all wondering who would be next.
The victims were shot at random in parking lots, going to school, mowing the lawn, gripping the Washington area in fear in the fall of 2002. During three terrifying weeks, 10 people were killed. Three more were wounded, including a 13-year-old boy. The snipers turned out to be John Allen Muhammad, a mentally disturbed man who planned to kill his ex-wife and wanted it to look like she was another random victim. He was executed 7 years later.
D.C. eventually reached a homicide rate of 80.6 per 100,000 people at its height. Homicides dropped to a low of 104 in 2012. However, post-2020, crime surged again.
There are dozens of unsolved violent carjackings that have happened in the district, and we've heard that detectives now are not really staffed up enough to actually help out with thorough investigations.
430 fewer officers now than we did in 2019, and likely the lowest number of officers since at least the 1970s.
Homicides increased by 35% in 2023, and carjackings doubled. Reduced police funding and Soros revolving door prosecutors lit the fire. Now only 24% of Washington, D.C. residents feel safe, compared to 40% a decade earlier. It doesn't have to be like this. We don't have to live this way. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your Ultramethylene Blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at theoliximstore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at theoliximstore.com.
To an Infowars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's quickly hit a reset button here on the Alex Jones Show as Owen Schroyer now takes over in the host seat. Chase Geiser will be rejoining in the fourth hour. I'm going to open up the phone lines. We're going to take a lot of calls in this hour. Chase will then be taking more calls in the fourth hour. I have a guest coming up from Canada who went into the illegal hiking grounds. That's right. It's illegal to hike in Canada now. And so he's dealing with the legal issues there. He's going to report to us on that. And it's funny watching these bureaucrats up there. Even the ones that are working in the parks department, they come out because they're embarrassed. They have egg on their face. They say, oh, well, actually, it wasn't about the forest fires. You could walk in the woods and you could break your leg. Oh. Now, I could sit here and say, what's the logical conclusion of this reasoning? Well, eventually you just live in a cage. You just become a prisoner on this planet because anything you could do could be harmful and dangerous. Now, of course, I don't think that's where they're actually trying to go here. I don't think that's what this lady is insinuating, that that's the world she wants to live in. It just goes to show you what liars they are. Oh, it's about stopping forest fires. And the hikers come out and say, we don't start forest fires. That's the homeless people. That's the vagrants. They start the fires. Why are you punishing us? We take care of the forests. Which obviously anybody knows that's true. If you know anybody that's an avid outdoorsman or a hiker, if you know anybody that works in the parks department, you know they are very conservative-minded when it comes to nature. So obviously the people going out and hiking aren't starting fires. But then they get punished, which is kind of another political logic, political lesson to learn. It's the same thing with the Second Amendment. It's like, you don't punish law-abiding people. You don't punish good people when bad people do something wrong. So Canada was so embarrassed, they said, no, you can't go hiking in the parks because you could hurt yourself. Oh, so you shouldn't go outside. You shouldn't drive a car. You shouldn't hop on an airplane. You shouldn't try something new. I got a call. It was about 2 hours ago. I was swimming this morning. I guess I shouldn't have gone swimming. I could drown. I could drown in the pool. Don't go swimming. Don't go out on the lake. So obviously that's not the logic that she wants to go with here. It's this embarrassing moment. So Jeff Evely will be joining us. And he is a veteran of the Canadian Armed Forces as well. I think he's going to be okay in the woods. Just, you know, probably going to be all right. But no, he gets a citation. He's the bad guy for going hiking. So we're going to break into all of that and maybe just kind of look at how that's a story of where Canada is going right now. That mindset, it's beyond liberalism. It's nanny state, which, by the way, as uncomfortable as it might be to talk about here, America is quickly heading in that direction as well. Let me just pause right there, open up the phone lines, let the crew get the callers on the line before I kind of go off on this monologue here. But I will be hosting the War Room. I'm not really going to get into much news on this broadcast. I've got a couple topical items I want to get into, and I want to take your calls. I'm going to do the news coming up on the War Room. And then later tonight, Alex Jones is hosting a special broadcast with Nick Fuentes. So we got a lot of stuff going on here at InfoWars today. The number, 877-789-2539. 877-789-2539. Number is on the screen. We'll get you up and on the air. All right. Let me just address a couple developments here, which is one is the big thing, and then one is kind of the little thing that will become the big thing. So the big thing is Skynet that is being built right now by the Trump administration. And then the little thing is Mamdani running for mayor in New York, who is a communist, has now hit the highest polling numbers since this race has began. And I don't even think the numbers are accurate because, and you can even look at some of the most accurate pollsters, sometimes shocks happen. And a lot of that is because polls are inaccurate, polls are designed to be inaccurate, and you can't possibly poll everyone or even poll the right people to get a good idea of where things are going politically. So if you go back before Mamdani won in the primaries, Cuomo was like 90% chance to win. Well, now he's down to like 10. So it just shows you not everything really can be accurately depicted in polling. Sometimes it's right, sometimes it's wrong. So we'll put that aside for now because it's kind of a littler issue that could become a bigger issue. But here's the big issue. And it hits me as I'm watching a lot of this stuff develop, and I imagine this is going to be a top conversation. In fact, when I was talking to Alex Jones earlier today, and he was kind of laying all this out, I know that Alex and Nick are going to be talking about this tonight on that special broadcast about the police state that's being built. It is 100% being built right now. 100%. Now, Trump, in a way, has now just become a distraction. And it makes sense, considering everything we've been through with Trump and everything he's been through. It makes sense, considering the expectations, the high expectations we had. And then you could argue the things that are being delivered or the things that are not being delivered. But it's like Trump has now become a distraction because everybody's kind of focused on what he's going to do or what his legacy is going to be or how do we manage this political tug of war in D.C. between these foreign and special interests and then the interests of the American people and his voters. But see, Trump will be in office until 2028. Or I guess 2029, technically. So that's actually a smaller picture issue. To just be talking about Trump or just be talking about this administration and what happens. When we talk about what the Trump administration is currently building, this is stuff that will last generations, maybe hundreds of years. And if we really want to get conspiratorial, potentially forever. If there's a concept of forever politically, I mean, when you build this technotronic surveillance grid, when you build this AI surveillance system, essentially Skynet, this goes beyond Donald Trump, ladies and gentlemen. This goes beyond the next 10 years politically. We're talking about 50, 100 years. We're dealing with this. You might even be looking at a situation where you're dealing with this permanently until there's a revolution against robots. So this all sounds kind of crazy, and yet we all can kind of sense it when you have this conversation and you just evaluate things outside of the political scope, the political lens, or you stop getting distracted by Trump and you just look at it for what it is. You'll have most Trump supporters that will complain about the surveillance state in China. They don't want to see it here. it's been a big issue when you deal with the corporate global government, the globalists, how they want to do this planet-wide. They tried to initiate this with some of the COVID measurements. And so we all pushed back against that. We all had a problem with that. But now Trump is doing it in term number two, and it's cool and it's trendy and everybody wants to wave the pom-poms, and we're kind of missing the bigger picture here. This is not about Trump. Now, I can look at it through the lens of Trump, since this is happening in his administration, and I can say, I think maybe one or two things or both, these two things are happening right now. A tool can be used for good or bad. So Trump can be sitting here saying, we've got this tool, or we've got this concept of a tool. Maybe we have some practical examples that we can look at, like in China, of how it's applied. And we can kind of form our own system here. But you have this tool, which is a surveillance state with the goal, the idea, is to make people safer. And so Trump might just look at that and say, you know what? I've had multiple people in my White House get attacked in D.C. I don't like that. I want it to be safer. I've had people try to shoot me. I don't like that. I want it to be safer. So I could even see Trump really believing that this can be a tool that is used for good. Because not everybody has the same mindset of having a major concern about where AI is going or where a technotronic global surveillance state is going, like you or I might have. I don't think Trump really thinks about that. And so the other side of that, and maybe both of these things are happening, or maybe it's one thing more than the other. I think on the other side of that, you have the new tech right, you might even say. But I think mostly the tech bros and the tech industry are kind of neutral now. They'll go whichever way the wind blows. And maybe in the past, they were kind of more on the left than the right. I think that's changed. I think now it's just kind of neutral. We'll just go wherever we need to go. So now I think you've got the new tech industry in there. And to a certain extent, I think they're taking advantage of President Trump. I think they're taking advantage of his ignorance or lack of foresight on this issue. I think they're taking advantage of perhaps his genuine desire to make streets safer and make the country safer and maybe the world safer. So they kind of see this potentially as a weakness as far as their agenda is concerned. So they're moving in and they're saying, all right, here's Trump, who clearly, I mean, a budget? Yeah, there's no budget in this White House, folks. Give me a break. We just went over $37 trillion in debt, and it's not going down. So Trump's made it pretty clear he'll spend more than any other president in U.S. history. That's just a fact. So you can argue about whether that's good or bad. You can try to decide what you think Trump's mindset is on this. Like, he came out today speaking to the Kennedy Center, and he's like, well, we're going to do some things in D.C. We're going to have to spend some money here, but, you know, it won't be that much. We just spent, what was the final tally? $3 billion on renovations at the Fed. And so now we're going to spend another billion dollars paving over streets and all this stuff, which, by the way, I'm for that. I'm all in for that. That's America first. Let me be clear. Addressing the problems we have in our metropolitan areas, I am all in. I am all in. Now, we have to be careful about how we do it, but the problem is we're spending hundreds of billions on foreign wars. We're still sending out massive amounts of foreign aid. Anytime Ukraine, anytime Israel, anytime these countries pick up the phone, they can get billions and billions of dollars from us. So, but at this point, to get back to the conversation, the tech bros have realized, and this is why Musk is no longer there, folks. This is why Elon Musk is no longer there. Because he was a bit of a voice of reason. So now the other tech bros that are still in there from Palantir and all the other deals that are going down, they're like, hey, Trump doesn't have a budget. We can literally get as much money as we want from this guy. And all we got to do is kind of manipulate the conversation to make him think it's his idea and it's his goals and desires that are being met here. Meanwhile, the AI sector, the data processing center, the global surveillance grid, they're just about to get flush with cash so that they can build the infrastructure, which will eventually result in Skynet, whether it's used for good or bad. That's where this is all going. So it's Trump, I think, wanting to do good things, but potentially using a tool that could be bad to do it. And then I think it's the new tech industry that's in there realizing there is an open checkbook right now when it comes to AI, semiconductors, quantum computing, data processing, surveillance state. So they're all in there and they're trying to get their cut. So it's just pedal to the metal on this deal. And nobody is trying to kind of hit the brakes a little bit and say, let's take a second and think about what we're doing here. Except Elon Musk, who's gone. And now you know why. So do I want to clean up the inner cities? Absolutely. Do I want to fix our infrastructure? 100%. That is America first. That is what we should be doing. We should have been doing this day one instead of fiddling around with Israel's foreign policies, fiddling around in Ukraine. This is what we should have been doing. But we should have been having a conversation about where do we put in guardrails? Who's talking about the Constitution with all of this stuff? Who's talking about your right to privacy with all of this stuff? What about innocent until proven guilty? Seems all this stuff is being thrown out the window. And the tech industry, it doesn't care. They get the green light from the administration. They get the billions of dollars. Good for them. Trump doesn't really romanticize the Constitution. Pretty much admitted it in interviews when he's asked about it. It's like, he's a businessman. He's a negotiator. He likes getting deals done. He has a vision and he tries to get it done. So this is kind of the swirling hurricane of the technotronic grid that is being built and about to be placed on top of us. And then you add into the Golden Dome, and then that's when you realize this is actually pretty dark and twisted. Because here's what we have had to learn from the past. It's like, okay, a hammer can be used to build a house or bash my head in. Well, if I give this guy a hammer and I say, build a house with it, and then every time he takes the hammer and bashes my head in, do you think I'm going to give him the hammer again? Say, here's a hammer again, build a house, and then he bashes my head in again. So what's the lesson? The lesson is you give these tools to the government, folks, they use it against you. Beyond the Patriot Act. Beyond. No, they're not building this surveillance infrastructure to not use it against you. They're not building the Golden Dome to not use it. When they build this Golden Dome, I would say it's 100% guaranteed if we don't do something, if we don't get this fixed, 100% guaranteed missiles are coming into this country. Why else would they be building it, folks? And why would there be missiles flying into our country to begin with? No, that should concern people. They're not going to build this gigantic mega surveillance infrastructure with AI and data processing and quantum computing and not aim it against you. So this is beyond Trump. Trump will be gone in 4 years. This stuff will still be here, and it could be used against you, and it will be used against you. Now, this kind of ties into the Mamdani thing, but that's more of a short-term issue. So the long-term issue is Trump is now a distraction for Skynet AI surveillance system being put on top of us permanently. Now the Mamdani phenomenon. Should we be surprised that New York City is about to elect a communist? No. But this is a political referendum. And whoever adapts to this will win the midterms, and maybe even it might be safe to say 2028. Whoever is willing to accept the reasons why Mamdani wins, or, you know, I suppose if he wins, he's the odds-on favorite now more than ever. Whichever party understands this political referendum and adapts to it will have the best chance to win the midterms and in 2028. But if a political party tries to reject this political referendum, then they will lose the midterms and they will lose 2028. And I think the left is kind of feeling it out right now, but the right is just outright rejecting it. They can't comprehend it. They can't believe it. They don't understand it. So let me put it pretty succinctly for you. There is this grip. There is this grip on the past. It's like people that are still obsessed with Cold War era politics dealing with Russia. There's this grip on the political norms, the political standards that we've been dealing with for most of our lives, which is, to put it simply, and it's not maybe the best way to put it, but for the sake of time and simplicity, the boomer generation politics are dead. It's over. The younger generation of political issues is now on the come and has come of age. That's what Mom Donnie represents. And if you want to boil it down to two issues, it's pretty simple. And this is what the youth will completely reject. Now, I understand when you've lived through something so many times, you start to just expect this outcome, which is the boomers will control the narrative. The boomers will control the outcome. The older generations, again, I'm not getting into generational fighting here. This is just for simplicity's sake why I'm phrasing it like this. Mamdani's election and maybe even 2028 will be whoever realizes this, they will win in the future. The older generational political run is over. It's over. Trump was the boomer's last gasp. Trump was the boomer's last thrust. It's over after that. It's done. And I think if Mamdani wins, to me, that's the threshold. That's the mile marker. And if the Republicans continue to repeat the same two propaganda points, they will use the youth, which is crazy because the younger Americans are more right-wing than any generation of Americans since maybe like the 70s. Maybe beyond that. I don't know. You've not seen more right-wingers in the youth, but the problem is the Republicans are blowing it. And if the Republicans stick to these two talking points for the next 4 years, you will lose the youth vote. Now, they won't really like to vote Democrat. They're not going to be liberals. They're not going to be progressives. But why would a young person vote for Mamdani, even if they're not a liberal? These two talking points, if the Republicans don't drop these two things or correct these two things immediately, they will lose the midterms and they will lose in 2028. One, the economy is great. No, it's not. The economy is not doing great. And the more you tell young Americans that, the more you're insulting and offending them and telling them to reject their own experience financially. Now, Trump could turn that around. He has a vision to turn that around. But no, the economy is not great. Stop it. Number two, Israel is our greatest ally. Not working anymore. It's not true. Not working anymore. But see, if the Republicans sit here and they think, oh, look, Mamdani is a communist. Look, he's an anti-Semite. Then you might as well just throw away the midterms. The youth is done with this. The economy is not doing great, and Israel is not our greatest ally. And the more you try to shove that down the youth's throats politically, the more they're going to regurgitate it and vomit it up, and you're going to have Mamdani's getting elected across the country.
Every guest I have had in studio in the last 6 months, I've given our medical grade USP methylene blue tube. I don't even tell them what it's going to do. I just say, here, take this, see what happens. Within 15 to 30 minutes, every guest says they've gotten energy like they've never experienced. Clarity, focus. It's like a fog has lifted. Their critical thinking goes to the next level. And that's what the science shows it does in our cells. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect because it electrochemically turns up the literal electrochemical electricity in the body. And so he was here a few months ago, didn't know what it was, known me for a long time, said, sure, he'll take it. He heard Kennedy talk about it. RFK Jr. He took it, and it was so game-changing. In the last few months, he ran out of the bottle I gave him, so he wanted more. And the first thing he wanted was to take some more before we even went live on air. That's how amazing this is. You want to do the plug, and I appreciate this.
I do. I came in
because you came in saying, I want more Methylene Blue, and then I looked over when you went on the air. You'd already slurped some down. Your mouth was blue. I said, you're Papa Smurf. So, Patrick Byrne.
How much is the correct amount to put in? About that much?
Yeah. I mean, Kennedy does three droppers. This is really strong.
You gave me some last time. I think you gave it on air. You totally feel the difference. I used the bottle you gave me. It's great. It totally makes it. You can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me, and I came back to Austin just to pick up and just pump.
Well, you can always get it at the AlexJonesShore.com, but we'll certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules, but we have the strongest medical grade. It's super good for you. It cleans out your mitochondria. Most people get instant energy, like 99% of people, but it's the workout. It's what it does for your skin, your libido. So you've been on it a few months.
I just had that one bottle, but...
And you're saying no letdown. That's the best part. It's not an amphetamine. It's not a speed, but it feels like that.
I see RFKs on it. Yeah. I just used up that bottle, and so for a couple of weeks, I had this great energy, but it's not speed. It's not caffeine. It's nothing like that. It's doing something else for you. So I really...
Well, it skips three levels of the oxygenation process in the cells. It's just next level. It's incredible. And they've suppressed it. And my medical doctor 6 years ago said, get on it. And I said, get USP grade. It didn't do anything. And then our sponsor got this super strong one. I'm like, oh, let me try it. Whoa. I mean, it funds the operation, folks. But I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten our USP grade, real USP grade, Ultimethylene Blue, theoxygenshore.com, you are missing out. It is so good for you. 99% of people, it's more than that. Like, it was like 400 people, maybe two or three didn't feel it. Some get totally freaked out that they're going crazy. So talk to your physician first. Take a very low dose the first time. You can't take it on SSRIs and other things. It is amazing. TheAlexJonesShore.com. So,
yeah, it's not psychosomatic. It's not psychotic. You feel it. You feel it.
Well, I didn't tell you what you were going to feel. How fast did it kick in, and what did you feel?
I felt it by the time, the end of the show. By the time I got, the last time I was here, I felt it probably by the end of the show or by the time I got my car. You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus. It's probably like why you are as intense as you are, Alex.
It's made me more intense. Well, I was taking full doses at first. And then working out so hard that, you know, I had to go.
You look jacked.
Well, I've cut back. The point is, I only take it every 3 days now because it's crazy. Everything we sell, I want is working and is good. That's what I want. I mean, I'll be like a restaurant. I ain't going to serve dog to people. They're not going to come back. But I mean, this thing is the most dramatic, quick acting, and it's good for you. It's just insane. And if I could just get a few more percentage of the audience to buy it, all our problems would be solved. Patrick Byrne was totally blown away by it, as every other guest we've given it to has been blown away.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance. And now, your host, Owen Troyer.
All right, we're about to go to the phone lines in closing of my points from the last segment, because I've just dealt with this long enough. I already hear the reactions from naysayers or people that disagree. And I've been having the same reactions since, well, I've gotten into political commentary, and I've been proven right every time. Because even though it's hard to sort through political commentary and separate what would be considered right-wing or left-wing versus something that's just neutral, just cutting it down the middle, and that's what this is. In 2015, when I was telling people that Trump was going to win, and I was so confident I was placing bets with my friends, and I was getting laughed out, literally laughed out of my family's Thanksgiving dinner, it wouldn't have mattered whether I was supporting Trump or not, or whether I was planning on voting for Trump or not. I just saw that and said, no, this is how it's going to go. So I'm telling you, this is how it's going to go. Doesn't matter how I feel about it. Doesn't matter how I vote. Doesn't matter whether I'm left or right. Doesn't matter whether I like it or don't. This is how it's going to go. So you can disagree and you can gnash and wail at your own peril, but there's a reason why they call InfoWars next year's news today. Now, let's go to the phone lines here. And then we got a guest coming up in the next hour, a Canadian who's getting kicked out of the woods for hiking illegally. I mean, you know, you can't hike in the woods anymore, folks. It's a free country, don't you know? So don't hike in the woods. Let's start with Odin in Michigan. Odin, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes. Hey, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
That's good. I'm doing good. I am a huge fan, and I've been waiting a while. So I agree what you're saying. Trump is doing excellent. I didn't get a chance to vote this time because I got moved back to Michigan, and I'll admit I'm autistic, so I didn't want to go through a city and deal with a bunch of people try to think do it. So, but even though I didn't vote, I'm still all for him.
Well, you know, you can root for Trump and be a fan of Trump, but you can also be critical at the same time.
Yeah, that's true. And I do agree with it. I mean, the school system, how are they getting screwed up now? They've barely been screwed up since the 90s. And I'm a pure example of this. I have a very smart brain, about a high of 113. I found out I can do university math. I've never been to university in my life. And I just restarted high school after dropping out at 17 and going back at the age of 42. And I'm solving new math, figuring out how to even throw Roman numerals in the math, which has never been done. Don't know if it's correct without actually having a calculator to type it, but...
Do they still teach Roman numerals in school? You know, they're getting rid of cursive in school, which is convenient.
Yeah, I know. That's stupid.
Because now you can't read historical documents when you can't read or write cursive.
And I believe the reason why they ever want to put Roman numerals is because they're afraid, you don't have zero. Yeah, they don't have zero. That's why you have the circle with the line or the zero. That's your replacement for the zero.
Well, I'll tell you what. It's an interesting story that you call in with an interesting story here today, and I didn't really put up any guardrails for the conversation, so I suppose we can go anywhere. You know what's amazing? So many things are such a racket. Like now college is basically a racket, and that's not to discredit any degree because some degrees are still necessary. Some college programs are still necessary. But yeah, most stuff now you can just learn online. Some of the top universities, like all the lectures are online. So stuff is changing fast. I mean, even with AI, and I wouldn't promote relying on AI for education, but at the same time, as a tool for learning, it's definitely useful. All right, let's go to Chris in Texas. Chris, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got a funny and kind of weird story. I was a couple months ago. I was the victim of a sting operation from. So we have some backyard pools that in between seasons in the springtime, before we are able to clean them up, a bunch of tree frogs make their home in that pool. And there are literally thousands, tens of thousands of tadpoles. And we're like, you know what? Like, money's really tight. So let's see if we could just sell a few of these on Facebook. Maybe they make good pets. And so we put an ad on Facebook, like $5 a pop, and we figured, you know, make a few hundred bucks over the course of a couple months or something, you know? And immediately we get a buyer, and I'm like, wouldn't it be funny if this was just like a sting operation? Sure enough, the game warden shows up at my door and asks to go search the property, and because it's all the animals in Texas have been blacklisted. Every wild animal. So you can't, and the kicker is they were just upset that we were trying to sell them and make some money. And they didn't care. I was like, so what happens if I just drain this whole pool and kill them all? He's like, okay, well, that would be your choice. But, and I'm like, so that's legal. He's like, yeah.
So what's the deal? What's the violation?
For trying to sell these tadpoles to, like, I sold him on Facebook Marketplace, and immediately he told me that an AI tracked it down, pinged it, and then sent dispatch to my address.
For selling tadpoles at $5.
Yes. And now I've come to find out, now I've got court. I said I want a trial by jury for this because it's like, I don't know, it's like a $100 fine or something stupid, but it's the principle of the thing. Like, I was trying to sell a thing that would have died in the wild. It would have just...
Yeah, right? Isn't that the irony? And doesn't the bureaucratic process do that so often?
Yeah, and I didn't think it would be here in Texas, though.
Remember, they did the same thing with a bunch of food during COVID. They've done it with milk, they've done it with eggs, they've done it with chickens. And they'll just say, nope, just trash it, just throw it away. You're like, well, can we give it away? Nope.
Well, what happens if they just decide, you know, are rats blacklisted in Texas? Can I not kill vermin? What about, like, we actually live in an area with tons of pecan trees, and we have so many squirrels. If they were rats, there would be, like, people in suits coming to exterminate. But because they're squirrels, they're allowed to run around and eat everyone's gardens and destroy, you know, eat, you know, your tree, your nut harvest. We've got a bunch of pecan trees. We don't get a single one. And it's illegal to hunt them unless it's hunting season. And I think it's totally illegal in the city to try and get rid of them. So, like, what are they going to do next? Like, everything's going to be off.
Well, that's a crazy story. Maybe the most insane about it is the AI picking it up and sending the game warden. Look, game wardens are mostly good people, patriotic conservatives.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah,
was
awesome. I mean, so it's not like we have an issue with game wardens, but the system, the bureaucracy is just a nightmare. I mean, the government shouldn't even be involved. You find some tree frogs on your property, you want to sell them to neighbors. I mean, give me a break. There's no room for the government in this transaction. But that is, we just have a gangster government. They have to get involved in every transaction. They got to shake you down for every nickel and dime you got. So that's what we're sick of. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Kyle in New Jersey. Kyle, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon or good morning if it's morning over there in Texas. I was writing down some things, and your topic today kind of piggybacks off of a conversation I had with my friend Tyler. He's a big fan of yours, too, out in Colorado. And if I may, it'll probably take all of 20 seconds to read the notes that I wrote down, and just wanted your take on them, if that'd be okay.
Well, I would just generally advise against reading anything on air. It usually doesn't translate, but I'll give you a shot. Go ahead.
Okay. So this has to do with Mamdani and also Trump. So right now Mamdani he's talking about free transit. They obviously in New York City have made a push for no cars with these traffic fees. And on top of controlling your transportation in New York, they also want to control what you're doing as far as what you consume with these state-run grocery stores, that they're going to basically give you low-quality food, let's face it, for almost nothing.
Well, let's be even more frank about it. They're not going to give you any food. They yeah. spent $26 million on a similar project in Kansas City. The thing folded, and it resulted in a net negative. So it's already been tried. It failed.
And, you know, he's also talking about, and I'll jump to Trump after this, but Mamdani's also talking about jumping up these taxes on businesses that are even outside of the city. You're just gonna have no money coming in eventually, and the city's just going to start to tank worse than it already is.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to let you make your Trump point, but okay. I'm going to respond to that directly once you hang up.
Okay. So then that whole thing, as far as Mamdani goes, will be what you respond to. And then with Trump, I feel like it's damned if you do, damned if you don't with Trump. I mean, we saw what happened with Operation Warp Speed and the first term, but now he brings in Palantir. And I believe it was Palantir was right away at that press conference. I think on day two, they were talking about mRNA. It's the same as COVID, which is surveillance. And I don't know if you ever saw this acronym for COVID. It's Certificate of Vaccine ID. And 19 can be broken down into artificial intelligence, which is a world that we're heading into. I think that this just moves the globalist chess pieces unintentionally or worse, intentionally, to their ultimate agenda, which is 15-minute cities and total control. I just, you know, I kind of wanted your take on that. And again, thanks for, you know, having this show and everything that you guys do over there.
All right, Kyle. Well, let me, I'll respond briefly to your last point, and then I'll get to the Mamdani point. I think that, you know, Trump certainly defeated a lot of America's enemies politically. let's take a couple examples here. The radical left, the liberal agenda, the liberal establishment, the progressive establishment. Now, and I would say it's not fair to say any of these factors are totally defeated, but I mean, the left-wing political establishment, the liberal progressive establishment is on the mat. It's on the mat. Now, what's rising from it is now outright communism. But you talk about defeating this establishment. Okay, well, the left-wing establishment is down for the count, on the mat, politically kind of irrelevant right now to a certain degree. Then you've got the corporate global government establishment, the likes of the WHO, the WEF. Again, I wouldn't say they're totally defeated, but they're on the mat. They've been politically knocked onto the mat and have lost a lot of influence and power. That has a lot to do with Trump and the MAGA movement. Now, you're dealing with other establishments that we're trying to go up against right now, like Israel's influence and buying off Congress and everything. So that's kind of the establishment fight now, is the Israeli influence establishment. That's kind of the big battle right now. But what you're seeing in this power vacuum is now you've got the new tech establishment coming in. So, yeah, any other establishment groups that aren't completely defeated and removed from the arena, they'll eventually come in and try to take control of this stuff. So you build this AI surveillance grid. Yeah, the corporate global government types, they're going to come in and try to take control of it. The progressive liberal left, they'll come in and try to take control of it. That's why it's so important to truly drain the swamp. That's why it's so important to actually have arrests. Trump again was talking about the stolen election from 2020. No one's been arrested. So the political left on the mat, but not defeated. The corporate global agenda on the mat, but not defeated. So you got Israel moving into the power vacuum and they've got their own agenda. Netanyahu announcing the whole thing. Now they want regime change in Iran. He's calling for a revolution and the Iranian people to get out in the streets. It's just crazy. And then talking about greater Israel and taking the Gaza Strip. So everything we knew that they wanted to do, now they're just coming out and saying it. And they've got the backing of the White House, so they'll probably do it. And then you got the new tech industry moving in, and they're kind of building their own power structure here. And on the Israel issue, they may be with it, not with it. Some of them are actually making military deals with Israel, but they're kind of their own. They're kind of their own body, and they're saying, "Well, we'll work with whoever is in power here, and we'll work for whoever's the highest bidder. And because ultimately, this is what we're trying to build. We really don't care who's president or who's taking land or in a war while we do it. We just want to build it." So then, how do you make sure it's being used for good or bad? That's the big issue. Now, on the Mamdani question, here's my issue with the left-wing communists. Because I can understand, you have to understand where your opposition is coming from. And to fail that, to fail in that understanding is to fail in political commentary. And perhaps, you know, maybe this might be a reach, but maybe even to fail as a human. To not understand where somebody that disagrees with you is coming from is a failure. So I'm not a communist. I'm not on the left. I would never vote for a communist. I don't support this stuff. But I have enough wherewithal to understand where it's coming from. The problem that I have with the left-wing communists is that they've got their priorities all out of whack. And I hear this all the time. I have this debate with commies. They'll say, well, we want free health care, and we want all this free stuff, and we want a better life. You know, I believe that maybe the average left-wing communist out there really, really thinks they're coming from a good place. And they really might desire for a better world for people. I don't know. And so they really might just think, okay, have all this free stuff. My issue is that, okay, if this is your goal, if this is your mission to bring in some sort of a socialist or communist system in America where people can just basically get whatever they need for free, okay, fine, that's where you're at politically. But you understand, there's like a list of things you got to do first. A list of things. So I would even go back to the communist and I would say, okay, how much is all of this stuff going to cost? right? How much is all the free stuff? Because nothing is free. So how much is it actually going to cost, and how are you going to get that money? Now, this is where 90% of American communists will go completely blank. They haven't thought about it. But no, there's a real conversation you can have. Oh, okay, it's going to cost $500 billion. Say, okay, it's going to cost $500 billion. Well, where are you going to get that money? Well, golly gee, how much does the United States of America dole out in foreign aid every year? Oh, hundreds of billions of dollars. That's right. That's right. So my point is to the American communists out there, if you really think that you can have some sort of a program to provide free stuff for people, you're going to have to find the budget. You're going to have to get that money from somewhere. So again, I would not go communist, but I would say, hey, you know what? Let's get our priorities straight here. If the American left agrees that we give out way too much foreign aid, I agree. So let's cut it down to zero. And then we can debate about what to do with all this extra cash, which of course is a myth because we're $37 trillion in debt anyway. But I guess that doesn't matter because I guess, you know, we're just kind of under this like unspoken agreement now with our government that, yeah, all the money is fake. So yeah, the money is totally fake. They know it's fake. You know it's fake. The whole thing is fake. But it's like we're still playing this game, so okay. So if I had left-wing communists pushing hard to cut all foreign aid to the tunes of hundreds of billions of dollars, if I saw the left-wing refusing to give another dime to Ukraine, refusing to give another dime to Israel and all these other countries that we fund and all the other foreign aid that goes out, and you now have $500 billion in your annual budget that you're not giving to foreign interests anymore and foreign countries anymore, and you say, okay, we want to inject that into the healthcare system, or we want to inject that into agriculture so we can produce more food. It's like, okay, now you're having a real conversation. Again, I wouldn't agree that communism is the answer, but you can't just give away free stuff without finding it in the budget. Somebody has to pay for it somewhere. So yeah, if the right and the left, with a different vision for the future, but with the same priorities to get there, could come together, yeah, I think America would be a lot better off. I think America would be in a much better place if instead of spending trillions, and yes, the number is tens of trillions of dollars, just since the year 2000, ladies and gentlemen, just since the year 2000, America has spent upwards of $10 trillion in foreign interests, foreign aid, and foreign wars. $10 trillion. And that's a low number. It's probably closer to 20. So if I had the left in this fervent push to stop all of our money from going overseas and then saying, look at all this extra money we have in the budget, then you'd be like, okay, well, at least what they're trying to do is good for the country. But they can't even figure that. They can't even wrap their mind around that. They just think, oh, everything's free. Just give out everything for free. Everything will be great. It's just like, no, that's not how this is going to go. You're going to cause a collapse, which will happen probably in New York City if Mamdani or when Mamdani gets elected. So, but this is going to be the understanding. And I really think that the American youth are starting to catch up to this. The corporate media control over the narrative is slipping fast. And you've got a lot of voices out there on the left and the right that are now coming of age, that are actually able to communicate these things and have a general understanding and a general purpose amongst the youth of how to reach some of these goals. But there's your issue. Imagine instead of in the last 25 years injecting $10 trillion all over the world, imagine injecting that instead into the United States of America. And that's like one sliver. That's not even getting into the corporate tax rate, which sent all the manufacturing overseas. That's not even getting into the regulations that crushed and crippled small businesses and sent manufacturing overseas. So it's like, okay, you want to be a communist? Whatever. Let's address all these other issues let's actually get all of these issues straight, get our system fixed, then you can have a debate about whether you want to be a communist or not. You try to bring in a communist system in America right now, you are going to collapse. Period. Now, you start actually prioritizing America, stop sending money all over the world, you know, maybe now you can sit here and try to argue that some of these welfare programs need to exist or some of these communist ideas need to be brought into practice. But you can't do that when you're $37 trillion in debt. And you can't do that when you're sending trillions of dollars all over the world. All right, long answer there. Let's go to Willie in California. Willie, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Owen. You know, I just want to say hats off. I'm looking forward today to Alex and Nick. You know, hats off to Alex for giving this guy a platform. You know, while the mainstream media distrust just keeps growing and growing, we have a migration of popular influencers moving to independent media. And look no further to the emergence of Tucker Carlson, Charlie Kirk, Candace, etc. And I find making informed opinions depends on scrutinizing social media influencers. And Nick Fuentes expresses many views I wholeheartedly disagree with, but that doesn't stop me from investigating new and up-and-coming influencers. Tucker, by mocking Nick's style and character, is revealing. We can't forget the reason for Nick's rise in popularity is because nobody's really solving the problems of a young middle America. I think Nick exists in spite of the establishment, while Tucker exists because of it. And hats off to Alex for giving him a platform today.
Well, you know what? Let me say, and I don't even really think it's like a conscious thing. I think it's just how InfoWars operates from kind of, you know, being... I don't know how you want to say it, being the bad guy for so long. I don't know. I tend to get along with everybody. And InfoWars has never been known to get involved in some of these personal disputes and spats between other high-profile individuals. I pride InfoWars for that. Because we're just all about the news. We're all about getting the public awake and trying to save the country. So, I mean, we really just get along with everybody. But I would say in response to that, Willie, don't be surprised. It's already happening, but it's way too sensitive right now. But don't be surprised if in the near future you don't start to see and hear there's going to be a lot of pressure on X and Elon Musk to start censoring X again. And there's going to be a lot of pressure on Rumble as well to do something with the rise of popular streamers that are, you know, kind of now anti-right establishment like Nick Fuentes. I think that's coming soon.
We need funds. We're fighting the globalists at Point Blank Range. And they got a receivership hearing with Judge Gloria Gamble that ran the Texas show trial next week to send the sheriffs here. I get it could be within days next Wednesday to shut us down. And I'm sure we'll get lots of funds then once we're shut down. Be like, oh, God, he really did need help. Oh, yeah. We have been battling and barely surviving. They turned the internet off here before. They had a fake sale to Bloomberg's front group. Remember all that? And it was because we didn't give up and the crew didn't give up. When I told the crew, no, we're going to beat this, don't go, and I stayed here and slept here a couple times, that we're still here. And because you bought the products, we had enough money for lawyers to go battle it and beat it. Everybody listening needs to get off the fence, get off the bench, get up at the plate, and needs to go become a VIP. $30 a month, see it as a donation. You get $40 each month to spend the store, sales on top of everything, special deals, special offers just to you. It's insane. And then if you really just want to support and you don't want methylene blue or turmeric, you're crazy if you don't, or Ultimate Life Force, the best cardiovascular spike protein detox, everybody should be taking it. And it's the best. Ultimate Life Force is the best cardiovascular, heart health, spike protein detoxer. Every man, woman, and child should take at least one regimen of it, see how you feel. It does dramatic things. We have the strongest turmeric. You should get it. And I got a lot of news to cover. I won't sit here and beat a dead horse, but the news we get out is so powerful, and it's that less than 1% of people that buy stuff at theauctionstore.com that make all this possible. And this fight is your fight. They want us off the air because they want to shut down focal points of organizations that hold the Trump administration's feet to the fire and warn Trump and warn his advisors and have a big effect and big pull, as the administrations have said and as the Democrats have said. They've come after Trump. They've sued Trump. They've had their operatives in there, and they see our stuff everywhere. Step into the zone of history and understand that you are the key. You are the variable. You are the Paul Revere's. You are the resistance. This dog don't hunt without you.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.